Good morning, everybody. I like this order of worship. This means I get to preach a lot longer, doesn't it? Because I get to go first. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mike Osborne, the pastor here at UPC, and it's a pleasure to be back. I'm your visiting pastor, you might say. Seems like I've been gone more than I've been here this summer, but I am here to stay, and I'm so happy to be back in Orlando. Well, we are in the midst right now, almost at the end, actually, of a series of studies on the spiritual disciplines. And I have entitled this series, The Impractical Life. And the reason it's impractical is that it's not convenient to be committed to the spiritual disciplines sometimes. It takes time out of your schedule. It causes you to stop. It affects the way you live your life and spend your money and things like that. So these things are not practical, but they do surely feed the soul. So far in this series, we've talked about listening. We talked about celebrating. Last week, Seth preached on fasting. Next week, I'm going to do a sermon on resting. I frankly think of the five that I'm dealing with, resting is probably the hardest of all of them. But that's next week, resting. Today, we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of remembering. Jonathan already gave you a little preview of that. Now, when you hear about remembering being a spiritual discipline, you probably were pretty puzzled about that. I don't know of a single book about the spiritual disciplines that talks about remembering. So I guess I'm going to take credit for coming up with this one. I don't read about it in books, but it's all over the place in the Bible. Throughout the scriptures, you read again and again about the discipline of remembering, the importance of remembering. So turn in your Bible with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. It is the fifth book of the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible, there are some hardback copies of the Bible underneath a chair. And could somebody shout out the page number? I don't have that. 180? Turn to page 180 of that Bible, and you'll find Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before I read. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you and exalt you and to think about you. And Father, I am personally just so grateful for UPC and the fellowship of my friends here in Christ. And we pray as we come to your word now that your Holy Spirit will anoint the reading and the teaching of your word. I pray that your Spirit will do what humans can't do, namely that you will point us to Jesus, that you will fill us with hope, that you will show us the way to live our life while impractically it will be for our good and your glory. And so be with us now. Be our teacher. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm going to read you the whole chapter. Listen carefully to God's word. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember the Lord your God. For it's he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. The word of the Lord. I want to talk to you today about two things. Number one, the danger of forgetting. And secondly, the delight of remembering. So pretty simple outline. The danger of forgetting, the delight of remembering. Let's start with the danger of forgetting. This passage of scripture that I just read proves to you and me that we have very poor memories. Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, is addressing the people of Israel on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They are just about to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land to possess the land that they've been hearing about for their entire lives. But before they cross the Jordan and go over into Canaan, Moses gives them what we would perhaps call some farewell sermons. Some things that he wants the people of Israel to never, ever lose sight of. And one of the primary things that Moses tells the people of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy over and over again, especially right here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, is this: don't forget. Don't forget. See, Moses knows what I hope you know. We often have very, very poor memories. Did you catch all the phrases that have to do with this? Verse 2, remember how the Lord led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. Verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God. Verse 19, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods. Now, you would think that it would be impossible for the Israelites to forget God after he had done so much for them, right? It would be totally unlikely, unbelievable, right, that the people of God would forget God after he had demonstrated his love and faithfulness to them over and over and over again. 40 years before this, when these people were babies and little kids, they and their parents and their grandparents had been slaves in Egypt. Remember that? And God had delivered them from Egypt by miracle after miracle. Surely most of these people remember the 10 plagues that fell upon Egypt and the way that the Israelites were protected from those plagues. Surely these people recall the Passover lamb being killed and the blood splattered on the doorway. Surely they remember the parting of the Red Sea, walking across on dry land. Of course they remember the pillar of cloud by day, right? And the pillar of fire by night. Surely they remember waking up morning after morning to go out into the field and collect the manna that had mysteriously fallen on the ground during the night before. Surely they wouldn't have forgotten those times that water flowed out of the rock to assuage their thirst, or the times that they had heard the voice of God out of heaven when he had given them the 10 Commandments and so many other instructions on Mount Sinai, or the amazing healing from poisonous snakes, or the victories that God had given them over armies that were much more powerful than their own. But surprise, surprise, as Gomer Pyle used to say. Sure enough, the people of Israel forgot. Now let's be clear. The Israelites did not forget the fact of God. They knew that there was a deity by the name of Yahweh. They didn't forget that they were supposed to go to this building called the tabernacle and offer sacrifices. No, they remembered that. But they forgot to trust Yahweh. They forgot to obey Yahweh's commands. They forgot his promises. And believe it or not, the people of Israel forgot his past mercies. The deeds of deliverance that God had performed for them so many different times. That's why they were, these Israelites, so prone to live in fear rather than in faith. Because they forgot. You see, human beings seem to have a sort of selective amnesia. When I was out in Seattle, some of you might have followed this story. There was a story that came on the front page of the Seattle Times while I was there. About a week or 10 days ago, about a man who 3 weeks before, I think it was July 31st, had been found wandering around Discovery Park in Seattle who didn't know who he was. Have you heard about this? It's been on some of the national news. This man was wandering around, had no idea who in the world he was. He had on neatly pressed khaki pants, a fine, expensive dress shirt, and $600 tucked into one of his socks. He was fluent in French and English and German and had this crazy knowledge of European cultural history. But he apparently had amnesia. Pardon me. So he checked into the hospital there in Seattle and he was named John Doe. The newspaper put his picture on the front page. And sure enough, pretty soon, there were calls coming in from friends and relatives who knew who this guy was. His name is Edward Lightheart. He's 53 years old. He's been an English teacher in China, a chef in New York City. He owns a huge art collection and had lived in cities in the U.S. and Canada and Europe. Nobody had any idea why Edward Lightheart had shown up in Seattle, least of all him. He could tell you a lot about the cultural history of Europe. He could speak in several different languages. But Edward Lightheart had forgotten what was most important about his personal identity and history. Fascinating, isn't it? But it's just like us. You and I are no different from that. We remember that there is this being called God. We remember to go to church on Sunday. At least you did. We remember the stories about Jesus. But we have this amazing tendency to forget our true identity as God's people, don't we? When the going gets tough, what do? We forget God's character traits. Like his trustworthiness, his power, his faithfulness. We forget what God's done for us in the past. We seem to forget that we're loved by God. That he's taken care of us all our lives. That he's made certain promises to us. And it's sometimes like we have no memory at all of those things. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now let me repeat myself here, because there is not a soul in this room today, unless you're an atheist. And if you're an atheist, welcome. I'm glad you're here. We want atheists to come to UPC. But unless you're an atheist, I doubt there's a soul here today who has forgotten the fact of God and a lot of facts about God. But I'll bet that there are some of you here this morning who this past week, or even this past weekend, or maybe even this morning, who have acted like there's nobody in the universe named Jesus. You've forgotten all the amazing things that he's done for you. The way that he's led you and guided you. That he's given you his spirit. You've forgotten that you are his bride. The one in whom God delights. You've forgotten perhaps that Jesus is in heaven right now interceding for you. Does this ring true for any of you? It certainly rings true for me. I sometimes live like a practical atheist, as if there is not a God in heaven who dearly loves me and who has pledged himself to be with me every single day. I'll prove it to you. Is anybody anxious lately? Has anybody been worried lately? Has anybody not been praying lately? See what I mean? Practical atheism. You forget. And we've forgotten to obey some of his commands too, haven't we? This passage says that forgetting to obey God's commands is the same thing as forgetting God. Anybody here holding a grudge against someone? That's forgetting God. Anybody here been holding on to your money instead of giving it away generously? That's forgetting God. Guys, any of you guilty of lusting after some woman that's not your wife? Any ladies here been coveting some other woman's husband or clothes or body or something like that? Let's go through the whole Ten Commandments, right? Every one of them is an example of not just forgetting to obey, but forgetting God. Listen again to what it says in verse 11. Be careful, says Moses, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees. All right, I think you get the point. We forget God. We forget his promises. We forget his mercies. We forget his commandments. And this is why Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. Because we're people with a very, very bad memory. The question I have for us, though, is why do we do it? Why do we forget things like God's love, God's laws? Two reasons. I think they're both right here in this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Pride and pain. First, we forget because of pride. Look at verses 11 through 14. Verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, verse 12, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become what? Proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Pride is one reason we forget God. What is pride? Pride is the idea that you can make it on your own. After all, you might say to yourself, I got to where I am today by my own doing, and I can very well take care of myself just fine. That's pride. And I want to say, and Moses wants to say, how dare you? How dare we allow pride to make us think that it's because of us that we are who we are, that it's because of us that we got to where we are today. Did you notice verse 18? Verse 18 says, remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers. It's God who gave you what you've got. Everything you are, everything you have is a gift from God. We don't deserve it at all. I like what Dave Ramsey says. They always ask him on the radio, how are you doing, Dave? And he always says, better than I deserve. That ought to be our attitude. Everything we are and everything we've got is from God. So one reason we forget is pride. But the second reason that I think you and I forget God's love, God's promises, God's commands, is the pain that we've experienced in our lives. Pain. You know, it often hurts to remember, doesn't it? Sure it does. It often hurts to recall things in our past that we'd just as soon forget. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you look back on those times in your life when you failed God, or when people failed you, those times in your life of guilt of shame, of poverty, those bad decisions that you made. You don't want to go back in your mind and think about those things. Neither do I. That time you gave your body away for a moment of what you thought was love. You don't want to remember that. That time when you think of your father who abused you, your mother who shamed you, the tragic loss of that person you love. You don't want to remember those things. It brings you pain to mull them over, to pull them up, to dredge them back again. But hear me out. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says that if you don't remember, you're losing out on something very sweet. Verse 15 says, He, that is God, led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. The phrase I want you to see there is, He led you. You've got a painful thing going on back there in the past. This verse says, He led you. In some mysterious way that you and I will never understand this side of heaven, God wrote that story of pain. He wrote it. I can't tell you why. I don't know why God allowed that to happen in your life, but this verse says that He led you through those waterless days, through that dry wilderness experience. It was God who was taking you through it. So when you don't want to remember it, when you don't want to go back in your mind and think about it, what you're missing out on is an experience of God's hand. His fingerprints are all over your pain. I think I've told you before about my time in another city before we moved to Orlando. It was only 5 years, but it seemed like an eternity. The worst time of my life, the worst time in my wife's and my married life. There were days when I didn't think that my wife and I were going to survive our marriage, surviving that is. There were days when I was in utter despair. But looking back on it, I can see verse 15. God was leading me. Just like He led you through your time of the wilderness. I'm tempted to hate my story, and I know you are too. I don't want to remember it, but when we refuse to remember the past because it's too ugly, we lose something very precious. Look at the rest of verse 15. It says that He brought water out of hard rock. Verse 16, He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end, it might go well with you. So, whether because of pride or pain, we suppress the past. We refuse to trust God again. We put God out there on the periphery. I suspect there are folks among us today who have put God out there because it's hurt too bad to trust in Him again. I want you to know, I want you to try. Try to remember, experience God's hand, that it might go well with you. So that's the danger of forgetting. We miss out on something very precious when we forget. But now let's talk about the delight of remembering. The delight of remembering. Look with me now at verses 2-4 of Deuteronomy 8. Verse 2 says, Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Here's what hits me about those verses. We're just like those Israelites, you and I. We're just like those Israelites. God has been so good to us. Yes, I know there have been those hard wilderness experiences that I was talking about a little bit ago. There have been those times of humbling and of testing, right? Many of you have already experienced that. We've had to go through these vast, dreadful deserts and thirsty and waterless lands. We've met up with some fierce snakes and some venomous scorpions along the way. But God has taken care of us, has He not? You know what you need to do? You need to practice the discipline of remembering, lest you forget. Lest you forget. What do I mean when I say the discipline of remembering? Two things. Two things I want to leave with you today. First, it means to remember your stories. And secondly, it means to tell your stories. So first, let's talk about remembering your stories a little bit more. I want you to practice, and I'm going to practice as well, going back in your mind to those defining moments in your past. The good ones and the bad ones. Write them down. Some of you keep a journal. I suspect some of you do. If you don't do any journaling, see if you can begin. Start writing down some of your stories from the past. Type them on your computer, put them in a special folder someplace. Recall the hard times, the times of loss and pain, the wilderness experiences, the times of hardship and difficulty, and remember the sweet times as well. The water out of the rock, the manna in the desert, the times your clothes didn't wear out, the times your feet did not swell. Remember those stories. What you're doing is, as you remember your stories, you're actually remembering God. You're doing what Moses tells the people of Israel to do. You are remembering God because He gave you those stories. There's a great example in Psalm 77. You don't have to turn to it right now, but sometime check it out. Psalm 77. It is a psalm that was written out of great despair. You can just tell it right away. The psalmist begins Psalm 77 by saying, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, he says, I stretched out untiring hands and my soul refused to be comforted. Have you ever felt like that? I suspect you have. I've stretched out untiring hands, and no matter what I do, it seems like God is never going to answer me. I'll never be comforted. And then the psalmist goes on to say, will the Lord reject forever? Will He never show His favor again? Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Did you know that was in the Bible? These very real doubts and frustrations on the part of God's people. Has He in anger withheld His compassion? And then something amazing happens in Psalm 77. Verse 10, look at it up here on the screen. He says, then I thought, wait a minute, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Fascinating, isn't it? And you know what happens at that point in Psalm 77? The whole tone changes. It's not like, oh, wave a magic wand, suddenly I'm happy-go-lucky. No, but his whole attitude changes as he practices the discipline of remembering. Recalling, intentionally recalling the things in the past that God has done for me. We're going to be doing that in this service in a little while, remembering some of the deeds of the Lord. And I encourage many of you to come up here to the microphone and share something that God has done in your past so that we can all remember. See, the discipline of remembering is a powerful weapon against discouragement. We all love a good story, don't we? And so when you remember the stories of your past and what God has done, you take delight in that. What do you think made the Harry Potter books so immensely popular? Because they were a wonderful story. And did you know that a story and remembering good stories is also a powerful way to defeat Satan in your life? Satan hates good stories. In my trip to Seattle, I reread the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. If you haven't read the Screwtape Letters, or if you haven't read them for a while, pick that book up again and read through that. Because there's a place in there where Screwtape, the big devil, speaks to Wormwood, the little underling devil, about the human subject that Wormwood is trying to ruin. And Screwtape says, Wormwood, what you can do is make that human read the really important books, but don't let him get hold of good stories. See, Satan hates good story. So when you remember the past, you can really do great spiritual warfare against the enemy. Your story is proof that God is real, that he loves you, that you're his child, and that he'll never, ever give up on you. So first thing you need to do, remember your stories. But don't stop there. The discipline of remembering is not finished until you've done the second thing. Tell your stories to somebody else. Tell your stories to other people. Why? Because your stories are not meant for you alone. They are meant for others. You're meant to tell your story that others might be encouraged and blessed. Let me show you what I mean. In the Bible, there are many examples of times when stories were shared in a community setting. You know what I'm talking about? Let me show you a few examples, if time allows. I'll do maybe a couple of these. In your Bible, hold on to Deuteronomy 8. Go back to the book of Exodus. I'm showing you a couple of times when stories were told publicly that they might be a blessing to other people. Exodus chapter 12, verses 25 through 28. In Exodus 12, what's happening is that Moses is giving the people of Israel instructions about the Passover. The Passover was one of the great feasts of the Jewish people, still celebrated today throughout the world, of course. Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 25. Moses is speaking to the people about Passover, and he says, "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony." And now notice verse 26. "When your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.'" What's Moses telling the people to do? Tell this story. Tell this story to your children. Make sure they never forget the night that the Lord passed over the homes that were marked with the blood of the Passover lamb. The story was meant not just to be remembered, but to be told. Second example, turn to the next chapter, Exodus 13. In Exodus 13, Moses is talking to the people of Israel about consecrating the firstborn. Now, this is complicated. I don't have time to explain what's happening, but the firstborn animal and the firstborn son was meant to be consecrated or dedicated to the Lord. And in Exodus 13, verse 11, Moses is talking about this, and he says, "After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons." Now notice verse 14. "In days to come, when your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' say to him, 'With a mighty hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons.'" Again, what's going on? Moses is saying, don't just remember this story. Tell it to your children. Tell it to others. There's another one in 1 Samuel chapter 7. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, there is not just a story that's told, but a memorial that is built. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. What's happening in this chapter is that the Philistine army is threatening to wipe out the Israelites. They are bigger and badder than the Israelite army. And so Samuel the prophet falls down before the Lord and prays and says, God, help us. Save us from these Philistines. And the Lord does an amazing thing. He defeats the Philistine army without any help from the Israelite armies. And notice what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. It says, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. You know what this stone is called Ebenezer? It's a living, perpetual story for the Israelites. Anytime they doubt the Lord's faithfulness and love, all they have to do is go over here and look at this stone sitting there, and it'll remind them of what happened the day that the Lord delivered them from the Philistines. The Ebenezer stone was like a story that's not meant to be merely remembered, but told over and over and over again. Of course, I remember, and you do too, that night when Jesus was sitting around a table before his betrayal and death, sitting around the table with his disciples, his friends. What did he say when he took the bread? This bread is my body. It's for you. Do this in what? Remembrance of me. What was Jesus doing? He was telling them a story that's meant to be repeated week after week, month after month, in the Church of Jesus Christ, until Jesus Christ comes back again. A story that's not just remembered, but told. That's why we do communion. That's why we're going to do it next week. That we might tell each other the story of Jesus' great love. My question to you this morning is, what's your Ebenezer? What's your story? Tell your children that story. Tell your friends that story. Tell your life group that story. Tell this church that story. We're going to start a new website. We hope to be ready with that website in a couple of weeks on Vision 13 Sunday. You know what's going to be on the home page of the new website? There's going to be a corner that's going to be your story. I want you to send me your story. And share it with the church family on that website. That we might all hear of Jesus' great love and be encouraged and be inspired. After all, isn't God a great storyteller? Didn't he write the greatest story ever told? Let's remember our stories and tell them to one another. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that you have done what Moses was talking about for us. You gave us water out of the rock. You shed your blood for us that we might be forgiven and made whole. You gave us manna to eat. Lord, you gave us your word, your promises. You've given us your spirit. You've promised to never leave us or forsake us. You've been with us every step of the way, even through those hard desert times, even when the scorpions bit us and the snakes bit us. Thank you, Lord, that our clothes never wore out, our shoes didn't wear out. You were with us every step of the way. Lord, will you help us to be good rememberers and good storytellers, that we might encourage not only ourselves but one another as we walk the road of faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.